It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. With the new year comes New Year's resolutions. Maybe you want to get healthier or spend less time with your smartphone or finally learn to play that ukulele you bought during the first year of COVID. Now that we are a few days into 2024, how are your resolutions holding up? Do you think they'll last the year? Do you think they'll last the month? Hope is not lost. Today, we'll be talking about what goes into making and keeping New Year's resolutions. If you have one you're willing to share or have a question about making better resolutions, you can give us a call at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. With us to talk about this is Eilat Fischbach. She's a professor of behavioral science and marketing at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. She's also the author of the book, Get It Done, Surprising Lessons from the Science of Motivation. Professor Fischbach, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
So I saw a poll the other day that said of the fraction of Americans who actually make New Year's resolutions, only a third think it's likely they'll actually keep them through the year. And so I want to begin by asking you about that. If it's so hard to keep resolutions, and we don't even think we can do it, why do we make them anyway?
Well, it is hard, but, you know, we all do hard things, and certainly many of us will be successful, not the majority, unfortunately. I believe that if we all know how to better set resolutions, then we are going to have more than 30% believe in actually sticking with their resolutions.
Yeah, if we set them better. So why do we struggle so much?
There are a few reasons, but the number one, according to our research, and we looked at thousands of people setting resolutions, is that people tend to set resolutions. Many of them tend to set resolutions that they are not looking forward to doing. They set the resolutions that you wish you had already done. And yes. These resolutions, you know, if you're not looking forward to doing it, you're not going to do it.
Well, this is sort of like the thing you begin. Do you want to lose weight, or do you want to be the type of person that goes to the gym every day? In either way, sometimes it just doesn't sound that fun. So what are some of the mistakes you see people making as they try to make and keep these New Year's resolutions? How do we set ourselves up for failure?
I would say first by not being intrinsically motivated, that is not being excited about pursuing the resolution. And if you would like to be healthier, then probably it's better to think about the healthy food that you're excited about trying out, okay, or learn how to make. Think about the exercise that feels good in the short run, that has some immediate rewards that you will enjoy pursuing. When we set ourselves to do something that is not enjoyable, when we set ourselves to eat food that we don't like, this is not going to work this year the same way that it did not work last year. Some other suggestions. Your resolutions should fit with everything else that is going on in your life. Your goals should be in harmony with each other. Don't set a resolution to wake up 1 hour early and also set a resolution to stay up 1 hour late to finish deadlines at work. Now, I know I'm being a bit sarcastic, maybe. I think that people will realize that you cannot wake up early and go to sleep late at the same time, but it's an example for how resolutions might not fit with each other. Avoidance resolutions, do not resolutions, are not as good as approach or do resolutions. Setting a resolution to have a nice cup of tea when you come back from work is better than setting a resolution to avoid a glass of wine. The reason is that when you try to avoid something, you ask yourself, am I successful? And you bring to mind the thing that you try to avoid. Okay? You ask yourself, have I been drinking alcohol? And you are reminded of the thing that you are trying to avoid, which makes it harder.
Yeah.
I
So
can keep going.
No, well, one of the things let me ask you, because one of the things I think I hear you saying is how we frame, right? How we view our goal is a big part of making a better resolution. And maybe you can talk about the psychology behind that, right? The difference in saying, I'm going to lose weight versus I'm going to go to the gym every day for even if it's only 10 minutes or something like that, right? Or I'm going to do 5 push-ups every morning or something, as opposed to this sort of nebulous goal, I'm going to lose weight.
Yes, Brian, are you a social psychologist? You sound like one.
Only play one on the radio.
You are right. Okay, really, the trick is often in how we frame our goals, how we frame our resolutions, and what we know based on psychology is that it's often how you think about it, and how you change your situation that makes it easier to follow through on these resolutions. And the example that you gave suggested when we frame our resolutions more specifically, when we put a number on it, when we say like how much and how soon, and we have a concrete plan, that makes it more likely we will know if we are doing it. It's easier to follow our progress.
And yet, because you talked about finding ways, I think you said, think of the healthy foods you're going to learn to make, or think of the benefits of exercise or something like that. But I think for a lot of people, and we're talking a lot about fitness because I think that is a goal that a lot of people take on at the new year. But for a lot of people, they don't see that benefit, right? Chocolate cake sounds better than eggplant parmesan, and sitting on the couch watching Netflix sounds better than sweating and panting on the treadmill at the gym or something like that. So, can you talk about ways to maybe overcome those sort of stumbling blocks that people might have psychologically, where it just they don't really feel the benefits? It's hard to feel the benefits right away.
Of things here. First, you're absolutely right that no one sets a resolution to eat more chocolate cake or to watch more TV. And in a way, when I say that the research shows that we stick to resolutions that we enjoy pursuing, then some people say, well, so should I set a resolution to eat more chocolate? No. Okay, you are probably eating enough chocolate. Okay. So you want to set resolutions around health and finance and relationship and other ways in which you want to grow yourself and your community, and yet they need to be enjoyable. Then the second point is that, well, they're probably not going to feel enjoyable the first time that you are going to do it. If you have not been eating eggplants for a while, the first time that you are going to have this eggplant parmesan, it might not feel right. If you have not been to the gym for a while, you might not feel comfortable. Your body might hurt. And then we find that having a short-term goal of experiencing the discomfort actually helps. And so if you go into this saying, well, this might not be tasty the first time I try it, okay, or this exercise might be like a pain the first or the second or even the third time I do this, that helps us go beyond this initial phase and eventually learn to like it. So your resolutions have to be something that you are looking forward to doing, that you will enjoy doing. But you're probably not going to feel it in January. You have to stick with them through February to start getting these benefits.
You remind me of a Marine I was acquainted with in college who introduced me to the phrase "pain is weakness leaving the body." So I guess they maybe that's one way to think about the pain of exercising. You also write and talk about support networks. Talk about how, in helping keep our resolutions, maybe we need to enlist the aid of friends and family, and maybe not even family, right? Because your family wants to be a little more forgiving of you, we hope. But someone to help hold you accountable.
Yes, one mistake that we often make is thinking about our resolutions as something that we are going to do by ourselves, okay, as individuals. Now, as humans, we are basically a social species. We live with other people. We look around us, we see other people, even when they are not there, they are in our mind. Some of our resolutions we actually pursue with others. Okay, healthy eating, which is probably one of the most common resolutions. Many times we eat with other people, okay, our family, for example. And so this resolution has to include other people that are going to do this with me. But even for our private resolutions, maybe I will go to the gym by myself. Well, if other people know about it, they are going to hold me accountable. They are going to ask me about it. They are going to be supportive. And you know, start by talking about your resolutions. Tell other people about your resolutions. We have some nice set of studies with Lauren S. Chris Winkler at Northwestern showing that when people give advice to another person, they help themselves. Okay, that is when I, Brian, tell you how you should stick with your resolutions, I'm actually helping myself sticking with my own resolutions. And so talk to other people about what you are going to do, about how they can help you and how you can help them. You get the social support and you get the advantage of the giving advice strategy.
I like that a lot. You know, maybe the last thing we'll have time to talk about, you've talked about this idea of failure not being a be-all, end-all, and instead, you know, thinking of it as something we can bounce back and learn from. Say more about that. How can failure actually be a good thing?
The problem with failure is that we often fail to learn from failure. That is, despite the fact that people talk about how one can grow from failure, what we see in our data is that often we just either ignore it or get to the conclusion that we cannot do it. So let's say that your resolution is going to the gym and, you know, it did not go well. Okay, like that this week you actually did not go. You can either ignore it completely or you can conclude that this resolution doesn't work and give up. But actually, there are useful lessons in the failure, which is your week was not organized the way you were hoping for. Okay? This might not be the right way for you to get your exercise. You really want to force yourself to think about what is the lesson in the failure. You want to seek out this failure and discomfort as a source of learning, as a lesson, and know that this is not intuitive. Unlike successes, which just teach themselves, failures, often people don't learn unless they are mindful and pay attention to what was the lesson there.
Good advice. And that is all the time we have. I guess I'm going to end by saying I've ridden my bike every day this year. And just between us, you, me, and I guess all the ships at sea, I will get on my bike this afternoon for another ride on my goal to be a little healthier in this new year. Professor Eilat Fischbach is at the Booth School of Business at the University of Chicago, where she's a professor of behavioral science and marketing. She's also the author of Get It Done, Surprising Lessons from the Science of Motivation. Professor Fischbach, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, and good luck to everybody with the resolutions.
Thank you. I also want to mention to listeners, once again, next week on the 21st Show, we're going to be taking a deep dive into a very serious and important topic, that is addiction, overdose, and particularly the drug fentanyl. We are seeing more than 112,000 people dying every year in the United States now. We're going to be talking about the history of it, politics, treatment, and more. We want to hear from you. Please share your stories, your questions. Talk@21stshow.org is the address. Talk@21stshow.org. And then join us all next week right here on the 21st Show. You can find our email address and every other way to get in touch with us on our website, which is 21stshow.org. We've got our past programs there, and you can find links to subscribe to our podcasts, or just look us up on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.